Yes, we are.
We still are.
Even though we are somewhat geographically separated, Judy, in the wintertime, you guys know this, broadcasts from her fine kitchen in Tucson, Arizona, while I broadcast from the 7th floor Allstate Showcase studio in Tribune Tower. Before we go any further, let me just mention that the news, that fine newscast from Veronica Carter, was sponsored by Builder Supply Outlet. So,
you know, I don't like to focus on the fact that I'm not there in body, but I think when there were a couple real cold days, not like what's going on now, but does it change your life? I know it changes the dog's life, but doesn't it make you, I mean, for me, when I'm in weather like that, kind of not want to leave my home.
No, because you get into you step out of your warm house, you walk a few feet to your warm car, you get in your warm car, and you go to another place that's warm. I'm not really impacted by it much at all. If there's a very heavy snowfall, and truth be told, we haven't had a terribly heavy snowfall. You know,
And I want all our girlfriends to know that Kathy does her own shoveling.
I do. It's about the only exercise I get. And there's something satisfying. It's like shoveling a driveway or shoveling a sidewalk that has snow cover on it. It's kind of like vacuuming your rug when you've let it go too long.
Do you enjoy that?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Really? Oh, so you like to let it get
well?
Like,
how often do you vacuum?
Grunge? Once a week.
Okay. I will. But
I don't do it. I mean, but the house is vacuumed.
Oh, you have
once
people, right?
I have a wonderful person.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah, I don't see my life that impacted by this weather or the snow, at least to this point. If there's going to be a 12 or 14 inch snowfall, I'm going to go, oh gosh, but you know. Otherwise, no, it doesn't change my life all that much.
I just hate scraping the windshield. I don't mind if there's snow on it and you can brush it off nice and easy, but when you have to scrape it.
Yeah, and in the city, if you're parked on the street, you're not likely, as we often do in the suburbs, to go outside, turn your car on, and let it heat up.
Do the melting thing.
Right. You're standing there in 15 below for 15 minutes scraping.
That's very different.
Yeah. And then there are a lot of people who really don't have cars, who are waiting at the bus. And that's rough.
Yeah, even for the L, they have those little warmers that they turn on between November and, I think, March. But when it's that, when it's temperatures like we saw this week, even those aren't that warm.
Right.
But I love huddling around. Like, it's the only time in the city where you get really close to people other than when you're on the train or the bus.
Right.
Like, by choice, where you're like, okay, we're going to huddle. We're going to survive this together.
We're going to
huddle under the warm lamps.
Right.
And we're going to stay warm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we are lucky enough to be dressed warmly. We have what we need to be dressed warmly. It's difficult for me to understand people choosing to go to the Bears game tomorrow, when it's apparently going to be colder than it has been. And I don't get it. You can watch it on TV. I don't get it.
I think Kurt Vanderhaal is going to be there. I mean, I know
he take those tickets of the guy that said you can have the tickets for free if you take a picture of you without a shirt on?
I don't know, but I know he's been looking for tickets online.
Oh, gosh.
Are the Packers playing? Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the Packers.
I don't know. I think people change the way they cook. I mean, we could ask our girlfriends. Do you change the way you cook? Are you going for hearty? You know, I'm having a hearty beef stew tonight.
I'm drinking a glass of red wine because it makes me nice and warm and toasty.
I'm actually drinking a glass of red wine right now.
Oh, look at that. So am I.
Did Lou bring you that?
No, Lou had a little tasting in his studio from Benny's Beverage Depot. Mm-hmm. And so we all went in and tasted a little bit of wine, like most of them, except the one that had, what was it, essence of ground stone?
Crushed rock.
Did you taste the crushed rock?
Yeah, it tasted like crushed rock. Yeah. It was not.
It was not good.
We sort of agreed, right, Sam? You were not a big fan of the crushed rock wine?
I poured it down the drain, actually.
Yeah, okay. But the rest of them were really nice. And so anyway.
Okay, wine in the morning. See,
wine
that's
in the
something
morning.
That's different when.
Yeah, right. When it's this cold. But we've been, you know what? That, right up until December 5th, we had late summer weather.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, we have been so remarkably lucky all the way up to this point. Well, you guys know our phone number, 312-981-7200. Text it or call it. And this is Val. Hi, Val.
I can't believe your life isn't impacted by this weather.
How is yours?
Well, I live not, I suppose you could call it a suburb, but I live about 16 miles outside of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, taking back roads, oh my gosh, this morning I'm on my way to my part-time job. Roads are really bad. Then I get to a point and there's somebody pulling somebody out of a ditch. But we had to wait for 10 minutes there. I have to put all these clothes on.
The clothes are a killer, aren't they?
On. What?
The clothes are a killer. I mean, my dog has to wait 3-4 minutes looking at me, putting on this ratty pair of boots that the zipper always gets stuck on. So
exactly, and they look at you.
He has a delayed walk.
Get me outside.
Yeah.
It's impacted, or that you have some inconvenience?
Oh, I'm quite inconvenienced because it takes so long to get to work now. So you have to leave 15 to a half hour before you normally do, because it takes that much longer with the snow and the roads. And like I said, if somebody gets caught in a ditch.
You know. How does somebody being caught in a ditch impact you?
Well, because I'm almost late for work now. Because I had to sit there and wait for them because they blocked the road pulling out the car. So there was a line of us waiting to get past because, you know, they had one vehicle pulling them out with a, I don't know, a winch or whatever.
I call it a tow truck, yeah.
Well, it wasn't a tow truck. It was somebody who had
the rope thing. Right.
So, you know, it's just all the stuff that just kind of piles up. You know, like, oh, gosh, we've got 3 or 4 more months of this.
So, well, not necessarily.
How long have you lived here, Val? Just curious.
I have lived here my whole life. I grew up in Chicago, though, so it wasn't as such a big a deal. Now that I live so far away, it's significantly more aggravating.
All right. Well,
I hope you're not late for work.
No, I have 10 more minutes, and I just pulled in, so I'm good.
All right, good. All right, thank you, Val.
Have a good day.
312-981-7200 is our number. We'll be back with your calls and your texts.
Kathy and Judy, what is this song?
We're cold as ice.
We're cold as ice.
This is Diane, who actually felt like you were cold as ice, right, Diane?
Oh, my gosh. We live in Chicago, but we also live in Arizona at the best times of the year. But we flew in Wednesday and had to walk from our condo to a restaurant to meet my sister. I wasn't a block and a half away when I told my husband, honey, I have serious brain freeze, and I'm not kidding. It's really, really. He laughed, and I said, no, you don't understand. It's really here. We got to get a cab. I felt like I had an instant headache, and the top of my head was just going to blow out.
Did it?
So we get, well,
so hardy.
The hospital? I said, no. I said, we got to go to the restaurant. My sister's from California. She can survive it. I can survive it. So off we went. But she's 13 years younger than I am, so that's, I should have taken that in consideration. But no, after a few minutes, I was back to normal. Whatever that is.
Had you ever had that before? That would be scary.
It was scary. I honestly thought I was having a stroke.
Do you ever have that? I have that in a restaurant sometimes. You know when they inexplicably turn down the lights? You're just sitting there talking to somebody, and all of a sudden the lights go dim, and you think, am I having a stroke? Something that seldom occurred to me when I was 35. But now, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, age does this.
So how did you get home?
Oh, that's the thing. I was enjoying my dinner until I realized we had to go back out in, and I and I'm not a panicker, but I started to think, oh, my God, this really scares me. But no, we just went outside and caught a cab.
Okay. All right.
So, but it's just thinking about coming here from Arizona. My husband was shivering a week before.
Okay. Now, I got to tell you something about delivery, Diane.
Your
story would have been fine without mentioning that you get to live in Arizona much of the winter time. you know, your story, it was so cold. We walked to the restaurant. I thought I was having a stroke. It's just, yeah. you know, the amount of sympathy that your situation elicits probably gets dimmed a little bit by the Arizona factor.
It is freezing here tonight.
I should get more sympathy because don't they say your blood gets thinner? So when I come back here, I should get more sympathy.
No, I think that's not going to work,
listen for
Diane.
Me giving you sympathy, Diane.
Well, does Judy come back at this time of year?
She does not.
No.
Why
but
do you?
I don't think we can expect anybody to have any kind of sympathy for us at all. In fact, they may be pissed off.
And even for those of us who don't get to go to Arizona, even for those of us who don't have that luxury, and it's great that you can, even for us, it's still first world stuff. It's, you know.
Aleppo.
Aleppo. I would just remind you, Aleppo.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, exactly.
Put it in perspective.
Right. Well, we're glad you didn't have a stroke.
Oh, me too. Okay. Thank you.
That's always something to be really glad about, isn't it?
You know,
what?
You could wake up every damn morning and you could just go, man, I'm glad I didn't
have
a stroke.
Exactly. All right. And this is Carol. Hey, Carol.
Hi there. I'm not sure age has anything to do with it. I'm 73, but I sold my car 30 years ago, live in Chicago, walk everywhere, take pub trans, bike, and the cold is just the cold. I don't feel like it's any different from any other day I have to be out.
Do you drink green smoothies?
No.
Okay. I mean, you're not like a health person, like I.
No. I mean, I think it's just, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't try to do anything stupid in terms of eating, but I really do think that, you know, we were meant to walk.
I don't disagree. And you can dress for this.
Oh, absolutely. You know, 3-4 layers. I just don't understand people who have lived in Chicago their whole life getting, you know.
Their undies in a bundle.
Absolutely.
Right.
Just if you go outside regularly every day, like I have to because I don't own a car, you acclimate to it.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most important piece of clothing that keeps you warm? I think boots. If I have good warm boots, it really makes it much better.
I got one of those black quilted down coats.
Yeah, we
everybody
have
in the world
coat.
That everybody in the world has.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference. I feel like I could go for a walk with my bedroom slippers and that thing would keep me warm. Huh?
Oh, I don't know. Eddie Bauer
I
doesn't
think scarves and hats.
Yeah.
Scarves
yeah.
and hats.
Yeah.
And
scarves
just,
and hats.
Right. And just when we're starting to feel sorry for ourselves, what do we all say, girlfriends? Aleppo.
That's yep. right.
Right, exactly. That's well, Merry right. Christmas
okay.
to you, Carol, you healthy thing.
Same
you.
To you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye, girls.
Speaking of walking outside in the cold, I can't remember if I mentioned this last week or not. You girlfriends have followed along with the saga of Honey, the old rescue dog that I rescued in the summer and who didn't make it into December. Honey had a back issue. She kept falling over. Had to put her to sleep. I've rescued another dog. So we will keep you posted on the adventures of my new dog, who is Isabella, who's a little Shih Tzu. I love to say that.
I know, because it's kind of like you get to say it.
Shih Tzu, Shih Tzu, Shih Tzu, and nobody gets upset about it. So we're working on that. We're working on the new one, and we'll keep you posted on the Kathy and Judy page about what's going on with her. And
didn't you post a picture of her, or was that on your personal page?
Oh, I know it was on my personal page. I'm not sure that I did it on the Kathy and Judy page. I'll check and see.
Well, do it when she's groomed, because
yeah, she's getting groomed on
everything.
Monday. We all look better
right.
when we're groomed, right? Also on the Kathy and Judy Facebook page, check out the details of our trip to Provence. We're going in May. It's not filled up, but we got enough people to make this trip happen. It's going to happen. And we would love to have a couple
we
more of you fill up the extra.
People.
Yeah, but we do have some extra spaces. I'm not sure what we go up to, but it's going to be a pretty nice trip. And we're excited about, I think some of our girlfriends that have been on other trips with us will be on this one. But we'd love to meet a bunch of new girlfriends as well. So check that out on the Kathy and Judy page.
And I think we have Steve's phone number. I know it's a 606 something, but we
will mention it. Yeah,
we'll mention it later in the show, and it's also on our Facebook page.
Right, or go to SteveBertrandTravel.com. It's all there. Kathy and Judy back. Just a reminder that our phone number is 312-981-7200, and we can see your texts and we can take your calls on that number. This week, I occasionally watch HGTV. I don't a lot lately because their shows all have a very predictable arc. This is going to happen, and then this... What the couple's going to look at houses, and then they're going to show them a house that's too expensive for them, and then they're going to talk them into buying a house that's going to get fixed up or whatever. All the different shows have an arc with, and there's one with a couple called Tarek and Christina, and they buy crummy houses and then they flip them and then they sell them. Okay, well, Tarek and Christina apparently have broken up, although it wasn't something, they apparently came out to talk about it because it was about to be revealed. And I always say that if more than one person knows a secret, it's too hard to keep. And for this couple, apparently for months, they've been separated, they've been fighting, they've been screaming, they put it on for the cameras and pretend like they're getting along and call each other babe and everything else, but apparently it's been very contentious. So Tarek and Christina broke up. I don't care. I didn't have any particular investment in them. If Joanna and Chip break up, I know that a couple of my sisters and I will feel very bad because they are a couple that seem to be a really solid, good, fun couple.
Hello.
What?
Joanna and Chip, definition?
What do you mean? That's another couple on eight that has an HGTV show.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it's called. Somebody will remember. So anyway, I thought online I saw comments. Oh, I thought they were such a wonderful couple. This really makes me sad. That one doesn't particularly, but I did have one, and I would say it was timeline 30 years ago, maybe even 40 years ago. The one that shattered me.
The show is called Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Right, okay. The one that broke me up was Sonny and Cher. I thought Sonny and Cher were this quirky but perfect, fabulously connected couple. And when they broke up, I was at that point, I was in a marriage that was a little dicey. and I think when people around you or people that you think you know, like Sonny and Cher, break up, that impacts how you feel threatened. It's very threatening.
When Sonny and Cher break up or when people you know break up?
Well, there are people that you feel like you know, like Sonny and Cher. But around you, yes. If people who are in your circle, and 312-981-7200, does this strike a chord with you? Have there been couples either in your circle, like you go, I never thought Mike and Karen were going to split. And we always went out with them and it was great fun. And that's threatening when somebody in your circle, huh?
Very, very, very
threatening. You think, oh my gosh, if they can break up, any of us could break up.
There.
Exactly. So 312-981-7200, if you can relate to this on any level of somebody that broke up like Tarek and Christina, give us a call or send us a text because I can't believe I'm alone on this. Judy, I mean, were you upset that when Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton broke up for the second time?
No,
because
I think I always thought it was a continuation of
right.
their, you know, they're both, you know, dramatic and
right.
stuff like that. I can't remember. I felt bad when Al and Tipper Gore broke up.
Ah, okay.
Because they seemed so solid and they'd been through so much and, you know, all of that. And they had a very discreet breakup, but I wasn't threatened. But when my best friend and her husband broke up, I didn't think so much, oh my God, they were so in love, as much as, well, their marriage is kind of like our marriage. And how come they they pulled the plug, and we haven't pulled the plug.
Well, you told that wonderful story, and I think you've told it on the air. Stop me if you haven't, about you and one of the Toms going down to the beach to go for a walk and talk about how you were going to manage the breakup.
Right.
And
somebody walked by, and it was the beginning of the season, and they said, this was down at the Wilmette Beach, and they said, oh, summer's here. There are the Markies right in their space, always, you know, like always together. I can always count on you. Sorry,
well,
we have lawyers.
We
have expensive lawyers.
The settlement. Right, exactly. 312-981-7200. When somebody you know, or in the case of Sonny and Cher or Tarek and Christina split up, how shocking, how unnerving, how unsettling that is for you. And this is Helen. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
You can relate.
We go out with this couple. My husband doesn't really like to drive, so I went to park the car, and she goes, oh, I like two peas in a pod. He would never park the car. I would never park the car and let him go alone. You know, all this lovey-dovey stuff the whole day, you know. So then 6 weeks later, my husband says, guess who's getting a divorce?
Wow.
It was them. She became wife number four for one of the local anesthesiologists.
So somebody was fooling around.
So she was involved.
Of course. Which I really don't care, but it was just like the whole day we had to put up with all this lovey-dovey stuff. And this was going on the whole time.
Now, Helen, are you still married to Mr. Helen?
Oh, sure.
For how many years?
47.
Holy smokes. All right. Do you think people would be shocked if you and Mr. Helen broke up?
Oh, yeah. Because we fight like cats and dogs, but there's no way we're breaking up.
Okay. All right.
Like cats and dogs? I mean, every week?
We just pick at each other about little things. It doesn't mean anything. I'd be devastated if he died.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would. You know, it's just our way. I love him to the end of the earth. We just don't agree on a lot of things.
Okay, if you and Mr. Helen split up, then people might say, well, it's probably not surprising. They were bitching at each other all the time.
Oh no, because they know it's just our way.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Helen.
Okay, bye bye.
312-981-7200 on the text lines, somebody in Sevenoit says Prince Charles and Princess Diana. Well, that you could kind of see that one coming. I mean, for so long they were talking about how, you know, how weird a relationship it was. From 309, when Lucy and Desi got a divorce. I was in the car with my parents and heard it on the radio. I was a child and shocked beyond belief. I didn't know people got divorces.
Until then, wow.
Right, yeah, Lucy and Desi. 30 years ago, every one of my friends got married. I never found Mr. Right. I was excluded from their lives. Now they're becoming widows and they're calling me again. Well, that's not exactly the kind of breakup we meant, but yeah. 312-981-7200 is our number. We're talking about when somebody you know or think you know splits. And, here, this is Sue.
Hi, good morning, ladies. A real honor to talk with you.
Good morning.
Yes, when I was in grade school, there were a couple of my friends' parents who I thought were just, oh my gosh, that's the ultimate marriage. And it wasn't until years later that I found out in those sad cases that the parents had an affairs and got divorced. And I was just telling
Kristen.
Kristen, thank you. I just talked to her earlier. And I grew up, I'll just keep it brief, with older parents, World War II generation. Anyway, my father was ill while I was growing up. And my mom stuck by him all those years. And in the meantime, to find out that, you know, these other friends of mine, you know, I thought they had amazing marriages, got divorced. I'm single myself now. And I'm sorry, this isn't happier, but it has an effect on how you think about relationships and
okay,
so on.
Okay, when you say I'm single now, you were married at one time?
Well, no, actually I wasn't. I'm still single.
Oh, okay.
I've dated and so on. I'm still single.
Uh-huh.
I'm close to 50. But when she said that, you know, yeah, it rocked my world. When I found out
what, years later. So maybe when I was in my early 20s, through however it came about, these couple of friends of mine, they're like, yeah, mom and dad got divorced. And in those cases,
you were stunned because that was, you sort of saw that as a rock.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Sue, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks. You too, ladies. Thank you very much.
Back with more of your calls and texts at 312-981-7200 after this.
Love hurts. Love strikes.
Love hurts. Especially when it ends. And we're just talking about, we kicked it off with a story about HGTV stars, once married stars, Tarek and Christina, breaking up. And in fact, I mentioned another couple on there, and one of our texters said, "Don't you dare say Chip and Joanna and breakup in the same sentence." They have sort of taken on this mantle of the ideal perfect couple, which is that's a lot. That's
a
lot.
We take our cable hosts very seriously,
right? From one of our texters, Brangelina. That was kind of a surprise to me.
It didn't jiggle my faith in marriage. I think they had what must have been a stressful marriage.
Well, it was a short marriage. It was a long relationship, but a very short marriage.
Well,
from 847 Land, Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins. I don't think they ever married, but this person thought they'd never break up. And from 708, wants Christina's phone number because she is a little hottie. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's your story?
Well, my husband and I were the ones that were breaking up.
Okay.
And ended up being separated for a little over a year, but our friends treated us like we were cyanide poisoning.
Like you were contagious.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of
all
them?
Of them? All of your friends did that?
Well, yeah, it was really weird. I was really disappointed in a couple of them, especially that we've known since childhood. No, it's been about 12 years ago.
Okay.
Okay, so you were in your what age?
40.
Okay, and you split for a year.
Split for a year. There were mitigating circumstances, just some health issues and some outside influences. You know, stressors that we just kind of went, okay, let's just get out of each other's space for a year.
Did you move into separate places?
Yes.
You got the house.
It was an expensive year.
I was just going to say, you guys must be well-to-do.
No.
No?
Not at all. Dumbest thing we ever did financially.
Wow. Okay. So you each got your own place for a year.
You're 35.
Okay.
So I guess it worked for us.
How about those friends? How about those friends who bailed on you?
Are you friends with any of them now?
Cooler friends. You know, the Christmas card.
Right.
The wedding invite, where we used to spend every weekend together.
Wow. Okay. So do you feel like you and Mr. Kelly are pretty solid now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, good.
Good luck with that, Kelly, and Merry Christmas.
You too.
Okay. More calls about the couple breakup that just shook your world. Kathy, who was yours?
Well, growing up, I was a big fan of Richard Marx, the musician. And I also liked the movie Dirty Dancing with Patrick Swayze, and his partner was Cynthia Rhodes. The
before he got together with Jennifer, yeah. What's her face?
Exactly.
Right.
His partner in the movie, exactly.
Right.
And Richard Marx and Cynthia Rhodes married, and I was thrilled for them because I liked them both. They didn't choose to live in Hollywood. They maintained a home in the northern suburbs of
Chicago.
Yeah,
didn't they live in Highland Park for a while?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So real down to earth. He has, for years, he's done fundraising for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation for kids with cystic fibrosis lung disease, and just so down to earth. So, you know, three sons, wonderful couple. And just a few weeks ago, I was listening to some of his music and looked him up online and find that he and she broke up.
I guess I didn't realize that they did.
Yeah, and he's remarried to Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, really? The MTV person?
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So
all right, well, it'll never last. Let's all have limited expectations. Then we'll never have our hearts broken by these people.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. That's so that was yours.
But you weren't threatened by that because you didn't really know him.
No, not particularly. But it's sad. It's so sad when a couple that you think is, you know, so grounded.
Right.
You know, they were out of Hollywood, none of that influence to mess them up, and yet it still goes wrong.
Yeah, yeah, so, it's not easy.
Yeah.
How about you, Kathy? How long have you and Mr. Kathy been together?
Oh, my God, he's wonderful.
Good.
He is a blessing.
And how long has it been?
Since 97.
Oh, that makes us do math. That's like too hard. I mean, it's 19
it's
years.
It's 20 years.
Because I can't, yeah.
It's
I can't
20 years, right.
I'm with myself. I think those numbers are dangerous to try.
Yeah,
those.
They are. They are. All right. Thanks, Kath.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. This is Larry. Hey, Larry, who shattered your world?
I was shattered when Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher got divorced.
How old are you, Larry?
I'm young. I'm 73.
Well, that's not young.
Oh, but you know, news, that's
newsflash, Larry. I'm 71, and I'm not young.
Well, you know, I am.
Okay, well, Elizabeth Taylor always got what she wanted.
Yes,
I mean,
she
Debbie
did, even if it was Eddie Fisher.
Well, you see how long that lasted, so he should have stayed with Debbie.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. All right, Larry, I just let's go back quickly to young, old. I'm 71. I have a good time. I have a good life. I'm pretty healthy. I laugh a lot. But I'm old. You're 73, and you say you're young.
When's old?
Absolutely.
When do you feel like you will be old?
When I'm on crutches or in a wheelchair and can't walk around.
Okay.
So it's not a number. It's
so
a
if you're 97... But you're still walking. You're not going to say think you're old.
No.
Okay, so for you, it's a concept. It's not an actuality.
Right.
It's an attitude.
Age is a number.
Age is... Okay. Age is... Well, we're just in different places, Larry. That's
right,
okay.
Right. And I'm sorry that I feel younger than you.
You don't have to be sorry. I'm perfectly happy.
She feels young, but her number is old.
Yeah, and Eddie Fisher.
Young enough.
Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds kind of surprised me as well, because I always thought he was kind of a putz. She was kind of cute, and I thought, what would Elizabeth Taylor see in Eddie Fisher? Was he abundantly gifted or something?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Larry.
You know what they say about those Jewish guys?
No.
What?
What do they say about Jewish guys?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
Huh. But anyway, it's great to hear you girls back on the radio.
All right. Larry, are you Jewish?
Yes, I am.
What do they say about Jewish guys? Do they say Jewish guys are abundantly gifted?
We're just
is that Mrs. Up. Larry laughing?
At the abundantly gifted part?
Oh, all right, you and Mrs. Larry go figure things out. Thank you. Okay, and finally, this is Joan. Hey, Joan. Hey,
hello?
Joan. Hi. What's your story?
Hi. Well,
Cliff Notes version.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. People have said that about me and my husband, that they were shocked when we split up. That was 6 months ago. We got married when we were in our 70s, and we were married for 5 years. The females in his family would not accept me. They insulted me, and he would not back me up. And I had just had it one day, and I said, I'm going home, back to my home in my little small town, and that was the end of it.
Wow.
And people were just stunned because we were on church committees. We were communion stewards.
Do you still,
dance lessons
are you still
together.
In touch with each other?
We text, but only, well, I don't want to say only, but I now live in Wisconsin, and he's in Virginia. We have different... The states have different divorce laws. So
oh, man.
I have
I'm sorry, those bitches.
Resident. I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I regret it. It was it had been going on for a long time, and he would never, ever speak up to his
wow.
family. He would cover up for them. And
wow. Joan, you were both 76 when you got married?
I was 71, and he was 76.
How was the sex?
We were wedded. Great.
It was.
Well, we dated for 5 years before we got married.
Okay.
He said he didn't want to ask me to get married because I had buried 3 husbands and had been their caregivers. And then we finally got married, and 5 months later, he was diagnosed with kidney cancer.
Oh, you're kind of a Black Widow kind of thing going on, aren't you?
Yeah, so it's enough of that stuff. No more of that stuff.
Well, you'll just leave him before they die.
Terrible things about you now that you left when he got that diagnosis.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Joan, up in Wisconsin.
I'm sorry?
I said Merry Christmas to you up in Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Go make a gingerbread house out of cheese.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Money, money, money. Must be funny.
In a rich man's world. I want to talk about money. I want to talk about money and Christmas and getting gifts for our age bracket, our cohort, as grandparents. When you are co-grandparenting, you know, you are co-grandparents with somebody who has basically a lot more money than you do. I have some friends who are in the opposite of that position, where they have a lot more money than the other set of grandparents. And I have known these friends to be so... move from being so cautious to not wanting to get an extravagant present for their grandchildren because of the other grandparents.
Well, that's thoughtful.
It lasted a couple years. And now they're saying, you know, we want to take them to Morocco, and we're taking all our kids in our grand... I mean, they're well set.
Okay.
And... we don't want to have to feel that we can't do that.
Okay, who made them... I'm just curious who made them feel that, because, I mean, I think I've kind of been in that position.
I think a lot of our girlfriends have been in the position of probably being the one with less money.
Uh-huh.
More than more money.
And if they feel that their grandkid... do you think the grandkids notice that or not?
Well, I know as a kid that... I had one well-to-do grandma and one grandma and grandpa that weren't. And actually, your question is really my experience. I absolutely, it never crossed my mind.
That one was wealthy and one wasn't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the presents were different. You know, they just were. And it was never a disappointment. Because of that. But
yeah, that
I wonder between the adults how they feel when you're in a situation like that.
Yeah, good question. Good question. 312-981-7200.
Were you a grandparent that was sort of on
equal
leverage?
During the period before we were fired, and we were doing nicely.
Yes.
Not as nicely as the men on the station, but we were doing nicely. I was able to take my grandkids, for instance. I took my grandkids to New York when the year they were 8. Mm-hmm. It was usually for a weekend. It was usually for 2 or 3 days. But I just wanted my grandchildren to see New York. And I never, ever got the sense that I got points for that more than grandparents on the other side. Mm-hmm. I think my grandkids in both families love their grandparents equally. I mean, it's so different, the grandparent thing. And like you say, you didn't realize as a child that the gifts from one were more expensive than the gifts from the other.
Well, I think I might have, but I mean, you know, the well-equipped grandma, the wealthy one, you know, took us on trips.
Right.
But it just seemed like it was more as if that was the kind of thing she wanted to do, and my other grandparents never thought about it.
This is Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda. Which side are you on?
Hi. I'm on The maybe slightly more wealthier side.
Okay.
And my husband does very, very well. And my daughter, and these are all lovely people. I always have to preface any kind of conversation with, these people are really nice. But they're spenders. And we seem, and I keep telling myself, hey, this isn't a competition, but it's like they'll get, every time they come to my son and my daughter-in-law's house, there's 5 gifts. And we show up with nothing. And
why do you show up with nothing?
Well, I mean, she's 18 months old.
Oh.
So, you know, honestly, when she was baptized, we put $1,000 into her college at 529 that we set up.
That's pretty substantial.
This year, she's getting another $1,000 in her 529 and a couple of outfits. And, you know, I bought one of those little kitchens. And we had to stop having Christmas together. And I say that wrongly, really. It's depressing to go to Christmas with them because there's so many presents for everybody. You can't walk around the room, and then my son opens up 3 presents from us. And he'll get 12 from them.
Have the kids ever said anything?
Well, you know, my daughter-in-law, this is normal to her. And that's why I have to tell myself that the overbuying is extremely normal to her. And she's kind of learned in the 9 years that we've known her, learned that Rhonda and Vince don't go ape crazy on it.
Okay, Rhonda,
Now, I hope you're reassured by my story as the grandchild that the differential is not perceived.
By the kid.
By the actual
kid. Right.
Do you do other stuff with the kid? Do you go visit with her? Do you take her for walks?
Yes, we babysit all the time. And again, a topic for another day would be, why does this generation constantly go on vacation without their children? But
answer is, Rhonda, because their parents agree to take care of them.
And they're adorable. This granddaughter is adorable. So we all get to have a great time. But it is, I have to constantly rein myself in and say, this isn't a competition. You're so fortunate that your daughter-in-law is lovely and her parents are so much fun. And we can sit and play cards and have a good time. But there's always, I think it's because I'm used to being the person who has the most stuff. And I don't in this particular.
And you've been trumped, you've been trumped.
Yeah, there you go.
And I have to accept it because I'm not turning this into a contest.
No, you make yourself crazy.
Well, I think all this shopping's exhausting. I'd rather go buy one $100 present and be done than 4 $25 ones.
There you go. First grandchild, Rhonda?
Yes.
Okay.
First one, she's fabulous. She screams, she yells. We love her.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, girlfriend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pre-game intel. The weather isn't going to be the only challenge this weekend.
Watch the Green Bay Packers.
We went up there and, the Packers beat us. But, we were kind of in the game. Well,
the Packers come in here. I'd love to see us dismantle the Packers.
They're better now than they were then, and it's not going to be easy.
But it's going to be a tough thing. You talk about stretching the field. It's coming.
Aaron Rodgers made the prediction we won't lose again.
Bears, Packers, and the best post-game show is the Chevy Hemp and OB Show with Kaz. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 on 720 WGN. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com.
My name is David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage. I would like to wish everybody a happy holiday season and healthy new year. I also wanted to thank all the WGN listeners who allowed me to help you refinance to pay off debt, lower your interest rate and monthly payment, and eliminate private mortgage insurance. Thank you to all the experienced homeowners for allowing me to help them secure reverse mortgages to eliminate their mortgage payments and gain access to their home's equity to pay bills, real estate taxes, and homeowners insurance. Thank you for allowing me to help you, your mother, your father, children, sister, brother, uncle, and aunt secure financing on the homes they purchased this year. We will be open during the holidays, so if you have any mortgage questions, give me a call at 312-751-1333 or visit WGNDavid.com. I've helped thousands of WGN listeners, but I can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit WGNDavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, an equal housing lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee 4358, RMLA, NMLS 191.86.
Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Gary Lang Chevy wants to give you a December to remember with the gift of a new Chevy this year. Right now, during Gary Lang Chevy's Red Tag Sales Event, you'll get 0% APR financing for 72 months or save 10 to 30% off MSRP on a new Chevy Cruze, Malibu, Equinox, Traverse, even a new Silverado pickup, saving you $500 to $10,000 off. Stop into Gary Lang Chevy today and buy a brand new Chevy car, truck, or van and put no money down and make no payments until spring. That is a December to remember. The holidays are fast approaching, but you don't have to wait until Christmas to take advantage of Gary Lang's great deals.
Are you ready for this? No.
Gary Lang Chevy is located in McHenry or go to GaryLangChevy.com. And remember,
if it doesn't say Gary Lang on the back, he probably paid too much.
0% for 72 months is $1,389 per $1,000 finance savings from MSRP is plus tax, title, license on select vehicles to approved credit.
Still have people on your list you haven't figured out what to get? Give the gift of a great night's sleep. Buy everyone on your list a MyPillow. Order now, and MyPillow will deliver in time for Christmas, but don't waste time. Plus, they'll extend their money-back guarantee through March 1st. Use promo code WGN, and you'll get four MyPillows for the price of one. You buy one premium MyPillow, you get another premium MyPillow free, plus two go-anywhere pillows absolutely free. Those travel MyPillows make excellent stocking stuffers. MyPillow has helped over 25 million people get the best sleep of their lives. It's guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you've ever owned. Yikers. There's nothing else like it, and it makes the perfect Christmas gift. Order today for delivery by Christmas. Call 800-299-9579 or go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN, and MyPillow will donate $5 from your order to Lurie Children's. Give back while giving the gift of a great night's sleep. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-299-9579. Use promo code WGN. And Sunday, that's tomorrow, watch the Blackhawks skate against the Sharks on home ice. Sunday at 6 on WGN TV Sports, where Chicago's very own play.
Money! It's a gas.
Money. Always trouble. Money just causes nothing but trouble.
Money and lack of parallel amounts of money when your grandparents were talking about how you feel when, if you've been one-upped by the other grandparents, if you try not to be competitive, or whether or not you're the one that happens to be better off, and how you handle that. Are you sensitive to the other side?
And this is Peggy. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, girls. How you doing?
All right.
Hi.
I appreciate this topic, and I relate. I'm impressed by what your previous caller said about she doesn't want to turn it into a contest, because I struggle with that. We are the less wealthy, shall we say, of
okay.
the parents. And so our daughter and son, we have five kids, but in one particular family, the daughter and son-in-law have a lot of money themselves. His parents have a lot of money. And our grandkids' godparents have a lot of money. They all have way more money than we ever have. So I struggle myself with not making it a competition, because we just cannot compete. And I will say, also to that previous caller's point, that we intentionally, about 6 or 7 months ago, moved about a mile away from our only local grandkids. And we see them all the time. We do, we stay with them, they come over to our house, my husband, whatever, we're involved grandparents.
That's
and,
a big
and
advantage.
The other grandparents are not. Sorry?
That's a big advantage. If you have distance, a shortness of distance working in your favor, that
right.
is a lot of leverage.
Thank you. And I appreciate what you said too, Judy, that in your memory as a child, you remember, you didn't notice the differential between the grandparents who spent a lot of money and those that didn't. And I really do believe that over time, it's the time that we spend with our grandkids that makes sense, or makes an impression. But they're 10, the local ones are 10 and 6, and this is not an exaggeration. We have never bought either one of them an article of clothing because their closets are overflowing with clothes from their own parents, from their godparents, from their other grandparents.
And it's until like, they're nine or ten, they don't care.
Well,
do you think little ones care?
I think if they're girls, they pay attention.
Oh, you mean, right. No, I misunderstood you. Yes, I agree with you. You're absolutely right. I don't think it occurs to them. I don't think they stay up at night adding up the tally.
Exactly, right.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I'm grateful that we have the time and the health and the ability to invest in them with time. And the main reason for my call is that I wanted to comment on how much of a struggle it is for me because I do, it's hard not to feel like we can't compete. You know, that
sure.
We just can't compete.
What are they? What are they doing that makes you feel that way?
Well, the godparents, with the parents' permission, this year are giving both our grandkids iPads.
Oh my gosh!
For Christmas, and you know, we have five adult children, all of whom are either married or in significant relationships, and we have six total grandkids. So, you know, we have a budget for each of them that we try to stick to. You know, we're not like and obnoxious about it, but we try to stick to a budget. So there's no way, you know, we don't have that kind of money. We never did. And we were 65 and we're both semi-retired, but still, even when we were both working full-time, we just couldn't have, you know, swung that financially. And that's the godparents. That's not the grandparents.
Yeah, but you can't put any price on the time that you're getting to spend with them. You just can't.
And
it's invaluable.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I try really hard to remind myself of that all the time.
Yeah,
it is hard, and I know that's about me. It's my struggle. It's not the grandkids' struggle.
And you'll probably love this this text from 309. We knew my paternal grandma didn't have much money, but who doesn't love pencils with your name on them?
That's a great point.
Peggy,
yeah,
thanks.
That's a great point.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Keep working,
Anne. Who doesn't love pencils with your name on them? This is Anne. Hi, Anne. Thanks for calling.
Hi guys. How are you?
All right. What's the situation in your family?
Well, we're probably a little more comfortable than the other side because she's a widow and has been for quite a long time. But it's not only the economic thing. It's they are not Jewish and we are. And so I started out saying I'm not going to try to make it Christmas. But as I was sewing dreidels to hang on my fireplace so that it would look instead of stockings, we have dreidels.
Mm-hmm.
And it started escalating. I knew they have they'll wrap up a cookie and that's a gift. And they'll wrap up a set of dice and that's a gift. And I started thinking, oh my God, we have to have more things because they're going to have so many things at Christmas. We want it to be balanced off.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here looking at a field of blue and white of gifts that are probably not even necessary. And I'm just trying to compete with Christmas. And it's an absolutely impossible thing to do.
In what tradition are the children being raised?
A little of nothing.
Okay.
Christmas is going to win it. I mean, they sing Christmas carols in July. I mean, there's just no contest.
You can't beat Christmas.
No,
because
there
Christmas
is no way
has more going. And there's no need to feel like you need to beat Christmas. We have a it's not a big damn holiday. It just happens to fall at the time of Christmas. And so they appear to be, if you're Jewish, you do this. But it isn't an alternative to Christmas. And
I know, but it has, commercially, it has become that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was raised getting like a $5 bill in a Nestle's Crunch Bar. That was my Hanukkah present.
Right.
And then we moved.
And pencils with your name on them?
That would have been an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and
you know.
So it's become and the other grandmother, even at the birthdays, has to come in with the biggest gift in the world. You know, she always has to have the biggest box.
Do you like her?
I was just going to say, we don't like her, do we?
I don't know who listens to this station.
Okay. Okay,
well,
Rhonda.
Some things are best left unsaid, but very obvious.
Thank you, Rhonda.
You're welcome. Have great holidays.
Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
You, bye-bye.
Friendship, just the perfect friendship. When all your friendships go up in smoke, I'm lost on the oak.
Maybe not. Kathy and Judy back. This is a topic that in our 25 or so years on the air comes up over and over again. Certainly friendship is sustenance for most of us, for many of us, to have friends, male and female, but in many cases, mostly female, just there and surrounding us. But every now and again, you begin to take a look and say, why am I doing this? Why am I I know we went to third grade together, but what am I, and this sounds really horrible, but what am I getting out of this friendship? And I think for a lot of
people, those are the hardest ones to cut off.
Pardon?
I think those are the hardest ones to cut off because of the history. You've got the history, and that might be your only answer.
Right.
What's in it for me? Oh, well, there's the history.
Yeah. And certainly there are friendships that you look at and go, this is a giving thing on my part and a taking on the other person's part. And if it's a valuable friendship, although if it gets to that point, I'm not sure that it shouldn't be addressed, that you shouldn't say, this is what I'm feeling. But I'm interested in talking to people and hearing from people on the text line. What was it? Was there one thing that finally made you say, oh, for Pete's sake, I'm done. I couldn't even call it a friendship. It was an acquaintanceship, but it was a person that, when I was very young, that I shared an apartment with. I was a teenager at the time, and we have remained in contact. But I finally ended our friendship over this political season because I was, you know, it wasn't like it was a nurturing friendship for me. It was an acquaintance, and I wrapped it up. Just not, no.
Did you
Sorry,
say
done.
Anything, or do you know you've broken up with her?
Oh, no, we've both addressed it. We've both addressed it. And I think probably that has been an issue for a lot of people because this was such a contentious campaign and voting season. And I think for a lot of people, they had to look and say, wait a minute, if this person, and this can go for either side, whichever side you're on, if you were a Trump supporter, say, oh, my gosh, I thought I knew you and you're voting for Hillary Clinton or vice versa. And it may be the who are you moment for some people that makes them end a friendship. Say, no, I can't do this. So 312-981-7200. You hear us read texts, so we do get those if you'd rather not call. But you can certainly call 312-981-7200. What was the moment or the issue or the thing that made you look at a friendship and say, it's not worth it anymore?
Do you know, I think for a lot of people, it can be atrophy. Just, you know, the connections are made less often.
Right.
You have less and less in common. You know, how would you start to catch up? Do you really care if you catch up? You've lived well and happily, you know, without this. And maybe that happens more with, and I think friendships can go by the wayside simply not because you outgrow them, but you might have gone in just different directions. I mean, think of the women that you were friends with when you first had your babies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were neighbors and you went to the park with them and your babies were sort of the same age and, you know, both of your babies threw up on the same day at the same time.
Right. Right.
Like that. And, you know, it's over. I mean, it's certainly over for women our age because their children are in their 40s.
Right.
And that was the main bond. And if you ran into them or something, but, you know, I think atrophy plays a big part. But I also think there are dramatic moments or moments of assessing, like you're talking about, where you're just going, really, not working.
Right. But what's the point? What's the point of this? Why do we continue to do this? And you can relate, Gloria?
Yes, I can. It was pretty much of a shock. I thought I knew the girl pretty well. I got to know her through a church group, but very, very, very devout. You know, don't say anything off color and all that. And I respected that and, you know, just went with it. But one day I said I'd meet her at the mall at JCPenney, and she said, I won't go in that store. And I thought, why? She said, did you see their ad for Father's Day? And I said, yeah.
Oh, is this the one with the gay couple?
I don't know. I never put anything together like that. And I mentioned it to someone else, and she said, yeah, I saw that ad. It was in Inference. And I said, but Sue, I mean, you go march up to Mass and Communion, and it all of a sudden it didn't make any sense to me. And we tried to talk it out, but there was a definite rift after that.
Mm-hmm.
Good friend for several years, but I had no idea she felt so strongly like that, and I just couldn't abide by it. I'm a good little Catholic girl, too, in a roundabout way, but I'm like on Kathy's camp where you devout and you doubt everything because I don't mean to get this religious, but her opinion was so strong and we couldn't talk it out. We couldn't make,
Was there an official breakup or was there just a death due to negligence?
It was a semi-official, breakup. I just couldn't go that route. You need to accept and respect my opinion as well. So we kind of went our separate ways after that. I don't see her too much anymore. It just got to be too difficult when you have somebody who's that narrow-minded.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm on the camp of, live and let live. I really believe that.
And
Catholic
also,
or no Catholic.
In the case of this one, she was trying to impose her beliefs on you.
And I said,
she said, you're not going shopping there, are you?
Yeah.
So,
and I'm thinking, the papers are full of fathers, sons, best buddies, everything else. Why do you have to read something like that into it? And who cares?
Even if it was.
Yes.
Even if it was.
Get
over it.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Okay.
I just couldn't accept it. And there are too many difficult conversations after that. And I just thought, no.
Not worth it.
I can't. It's too stressful.
Yeah.
And I found it so difficult to accept. It was my first time that I ever had such a difference of opinion with someone where I had to stand my ground. So,
all right. Well, you have other friends, I'm going to assume.
Yeah. In a roundabout way.
Really? Was she it?
Was she your only girlfriend?
No. Oh, no. I think I missed what you just said. Oh, no. I have tons of friends.
Oh,
and nobody could believe it,
Right. Yeah,
And I found out later that other people had that, kind of a difficulty with her, too. Because
That just gets annoying. Right. Gets annoying. Well, happy holidays to you, Gloria.
Too,
okay.
I love you guys. I wish you were on Monday through Friday. I miss it so bad.
Bless you. Thanks a lot.
You have no idea.
Thank you.
Are you a salvation?
Well,
bye-bye.
On Saturdays anyway. 312-981.
That's too big a job for
7200.
That's what friends are for.
Kathy and Judy back. We're talking about friendship. That's been an ongoing theme in our show over the last 25 years. And we're just talking about ending a friendship. And for some people, it happened during this campaign.
You know, I did the opposite of that. I'm listening to our previous caller, which is that I have a friend who has a sticker on her car that says, marriage is for a man and a woman.
Mm.
And she's religious. She's evangelical. And I just chose, and I have a brother who has been with the same man, and they're now married for 40 years. And I choose to ignore that and not discuss it because...
You mean her bumper sticker?
Yeah, because I love her. We go back a long way. I find so much more to adore in her than to get hooked on this one thing.
Then I'm assuming she doesn't make that a factor, that it doesn't come up in your conversation.
She doesn't tell my brother
to
do anything different.
Right.
No, it's just a tacit place where we... absolutely for a very long time have agreed to disagree.
Yeah, or not even to acknowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number, and this is Sylvia. Hey, Sylvia.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How do you relate to this?
I can't believe you're talking about it because I'm actually exactly going through this this thing right now. I have a dear friend of 36 years, and we've pretty much just kind of ended our friendship over this election and divisiveness. And she just, I mean, we've always been in different places for 30 plus years, but kind of, you know, like Judy said, there were just certain things we just really didn't discuss. And I respect everyone's right to vote for which party and candidate suits, you know, feels they can do the best job. But what changed with this election, I think, one, I was more passionate about it because of the candidates involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I will admit, I had a hard time with my women friends that went a certain way.
That you didn't go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I respected their right to vote. But yes, deep down, there was a part of me that was, just didn't understand it, but I didn't end any friendships over it. But what caused this one was the way that it was as if like a demon took over her, and constant postings on Facebook, these crazy, insane stories, and, you know, the memes and the very, very insulting to anyone who was supporting the other candidate, our intelligence. And finally, and when it was over, we kind of just weren't talking, and I had to address the elephant in the room, and I sent her an email and just said, I know you feel it's because we were in different places, and it's not. I said, it's the way that you were so hurtful and insulting to people you profess to love, and you're such an intelligent person. I don't know that you really can believe all this that you were. And she really just didn't see it and kind of let me have it, and said that she didn't respect my choice either, and that was kind of like...
And then it was done.
You know, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, it's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable.
I think, in this election, probably more than any in our lifetimes, did destroy a lot of friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it did.
It was very hard to accept... It was difficult to, and I really, truly, probably the majority of people I know in my world vote the other way, and I've never had an issue until this particular election.
I just had that conversation with some people yesterday, that many of us have been through a lot of elections and had friends who were going to vote for the other candidate, but never with the sense of vitriol and anger on both sides as this campaign.
Yes.
As this campaign,
and
right.
I think, too, what upset me the most, it wasn't so much as people saying, this is my party, this is who I'm supporting. What I couldn't stand was the enthusiasm for the candidate and the holding on a pedestal when so much was out there that was so despicable. I think that was part of it, not just that the vote was cast because that's their party and that's who they support, that's the platform they support, but actually holding this person up to such a high, I'm sorry.
It's tough.
It just stunned me.
Yeah, it's tough. Sylvia, thank you for
it's
the call.
Heartbreaking. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
And a real quick call from a guy. Hey, Ron, happened to you too?
Yeah, it happened to me too. In fact, I was the best man at his wedding, and friendship of over 30 years.
Oh gosh.
And
was this election based?
Really, oh yeah, definitely election based. And you know, it's kind of funny because the two previous callers. One of them was based on something that he put on Facebook that I knew his position, and he said that he was going to pray. And I couldn't take it anymore. How you could pray for nobody's mentioned any names, but how you could pray that Donald Trump would become the next president of the United States is just beyond me. And it just
it apparently worked.
Is there a God?
There you go. Ron, thank you for the call.
All right.
Merry Christmas.